You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the James Dobson Family Institute podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. We're really glad that you're with us here. Hope you'll come back every week as we share our thoughts with you about how you can be a more effective Christian citizen and give you information about some of the struggles in our country that we're all aware of when we open the newspaper and see the headlines. You know, it struck me the other day that a lot of the issues that we're all worried about, you probably have seen the polling where 75% of the country says that America's headed in the wrong direction. That's an extraordinary number. It's really a number that we haven't seen in history before. And I think there are a lot of reasons for it. But when you think about the problems we're facing and what people are worried about, a lot of it gets back to our children. And a lot of the time we spend here on the podcast with you is inevitably going to be talking about America's children and their health, what's going on with them. By every measurement, America's kids are in trouble. You know, there's rising youth suicide. More and more of our children are raised in broken families. Of course, we're not even talking about the children that sadly don't even make it out of the womb alive. We have rising levels of drug addiction. A lot of children are being seduced by an overly sexualized culture. We've got the whole gender dysphoria problem in which really young children, some as young as 6, 7, 8 years old, are being deceived into thinking that they could be a boy trapped in a girl's body or a girl trapped in a boy's body. The list just goes on and on and on. And I was thinking about this. I think about it a lot. A lot of the work we do at the James Dobson Family Institute revolves around saving our kids. And all of these issues that are affecting our children, I don't think it's possible to solve any of them unless the American church is involved and unless Christian parents and Christian citizens step up with the teachings that we believe in and the values we believe in and apply those teachings and values to trying to save our children. I prayed about this a little bit, and I thought maybe the best way to go about it today, rather than just numb your mind with statistics and studies and all the rest of it, is instead to tell you a story about a president of the United States and one single baby. Back in the 80s, I had the great pleasure and I had the great blessing of working for President Ronald Reagan all 8 years of his administration. In a couple of those years, I worked at the White House, which was a pretty big deal for me. My dad was a janitor. I grew up in a working poor family. Nobody in my family had ever finished high school, let alone gone on to college. And I was able, because of my parents' hard work, to go to college, then to go to law school, and end up working for a president of the United States. Well, one day in Indiana, in the heartland of America, a baby was born to a mother and father that came to be known as Baby Doe. Now, those parents were waiting with great anticipation for the arrival of their new baby. But when the baby was born, much to their shock and horror, the baby had a number of birth defects that go along with Down syndrome. This was a complete surprise. There wasn't anything during the pregnancy to indicate something was wrong. And so the parents were mortified. They were shocked. They were depressed. They were saddened. And they also were getting really bad medical advice because along with the normal manifestations of Down syndrome, the baby had a couple of other problems. One of them was a blockage in the child's digestive system that prevented the baby from digesting food. And the doctors told these parents that the child would never be fully what they wanted in their child. And it really was not advisable to seek the surgery that would have relatively easily removed that blockage in the baby's digestive system. And so baby Doe was put into a crib and rolled off into a corner of the nursery where a little sign was hung on the crib that said, "Do not feed." They were going to allow the baby to just naturally starve to death without getting the surgery. Now, there was a Christian nurse in the hospital that day. She saw what was going on. She was mortified. She told people later that she went off to a room and prayed about what to do. She was confused. She didn't know what her role was. Should she report this to somebody? Should she get involved at all? She ended up telling her superior that she was feeling ill, and she went home. And she decided in the quiet of her own apartment that she had to do something about this. Now, this lady didn't start at the grassroots. She didn't call the mayor or the city council. She started making phone calls, God bless her, to Washington, D.C. And by some miracle, to this day, I don't know how it happened, she actually got through to somebody at the White House. And she told us what was happening to baby Doe in Bloomington, Indiana. This was an emergency. I mean, this baby was going to die unless we could come up with some answer. So we immediately went in and briefed President Reagan. He was as shocked as you could imagine. And President Reagan, and this was a sensitive issue, you know, a lot of Americans feel politics shouldn't get involved in something like this. Government has no busy poking its nose into these family decisions. Well, this family decision was a life or death decision. This little baby was an American. When that baby came out of the womb, that baby was covered by all the promises and protections of our laws. And so President Reagan ordered us to go into the federal courts immediately, file an emergency petition, which we did within hours, asking the courts to intervene. I wish I had a great ending to this story, but the same federal courts that can find rights at the drop of a hat for criminals and pornographers and all sorts of people could not find one word in our Constitution to protect baby Doe. So in the heartland of America, baby Doe starved to death. We were heartbroken at the White House. The president was heartbroken. But, you know, every day there's new challenges, big problems. This was one baby in one hospital. The president at the time, if you're a student of history at all, was busy trying to win the Cold War with the Soviet Union and basically save all of America's children from godless communism. Well, a number of years passed by, 4 to be exact, and I got a call one day at the White House from a friend who said, "Gary, I just saw an article in a newspaper called Newsday about a 4-year-old child, and I think you're going to want to read this article." And he got the article to me, and what I read was about another couple on Long Island, New York, who were pregnant around the same time that baby Doe was born. And like baby Doe, they ended up giving birth to a baby that had Down syndrome and was suffering from a number of other physical problems that go along with that. Their doctors told them much the same thing. We're sorry to let you know your baby's never going to be normal. She's never going to overcome these difficulties. She'll never be able to do all the things you hoped for your little girl. But these parents were so convicted by hearing and watching the debate that the president of the United States set off because of what was happening in Bloomington, Indiana, that they decided they would get those medical treatments for their baby. And this article in Newsday was about how 4 years later, their child was doing all the things that a four-year-old should do. The writer of the article talked about how the baby was demanding, or the four-year-old was demanding, that their mom and dad hug them, how the child was happy and there was joy in the family. Well, back at the White House, a little tradition had grown up. If the president's schedule allowed it, every Monday we would have lunch with him, about a dozen of us who were all at the level of assistant to the president. And at that lunch, without any media around, we could bring up any subject we wanted within reason, get the president's guidance, or maybe inform him about something that he may not have known about. And I decided that morning when I saw this story that I was going to use my time to let the president know about the baby that was basically saved in Long Island because of him. And so when the turn came around for me to speak, I said, "Mr. President, I want to share some good news with you. I know there's a lot of big issues on the table, and this is just about one baby, but I thought you would want to know." And I described for him how, even though we had failed to save baby Doe, that we had convicted the hearts of this other mom and dad. And maybe there were others out there that we would never find out about. And because of his courage and taking on the popular culture and speaking up for the sanctity of life, there was a four-year-old on her way to being a happy American child who would be going to school and experiencing all the joys of living in this great and free nation. When I finished, the room was silent. We were in the cabinet room of the United States. A fire was raging in the fireplace. And down at the other end of the room, there's a little hallway going to the Oval Office. I was talking to the most powerful man in the world. A president of the United States has the ability to affect millions of lives, not only in the United States, but all over the world. And so I was certainly on the edge of my seat to see how he would react. He sat there for a few seconds, and then I wondered if I was seeing things correctly. But yes, I was. He was tearing up. And then a tear formed in the corner of his eye and started to roll down his cheek, and he wiped it away, and he leaned forward and he said, "Gary, thank you for sharing that with me. It really means a lot to know what we're doing can make a difference for even one child." I'll never forget that moment with the president of the United States. You know, he became so convicted on the life issue that he went on to be the first president of the United States to write a book while he was in office. It's not a big book. It's about 20 pages. But the remarkable thing about it is the whole book is about the sanctity of life, about how we're all made in the image of God, and that we have an obligation to our children, whether they're rich or poor, whether they're perfect or handicapped, to give them the dignity and the value and worth that they're due because they're created by God. Now, over the years, when I've thought back on this story, you know, I thought, you know, if it wasn't for that Christian nurse in the hospital in Bloomington, Indiana, we would have never found out about that baby. We would have never been able to tell the president of the United States. He wouldn't have ordered us into the federal courts. Other parents watching this debate wouldn't have ended up erring on the side of treating their handicapped child with the dignity and value and worth that they're due. If we hadn't had a Christian president, Ronald Reagan was a Christian. He didn't wear it on his sleeve. But I can tell you, for the years I was with him, he was a committed Christian. In fact, I don't know if you've ever have read about this, but when Ronald Reagan survived an assassination attempt that very nearly killed him, he was absolutely convinced that God had saved him from death that day because God had an assignment for him, which was to bring down the Soviet Union so that millions of people around the world could have a chance at freedom. So he believed God was acting in his life. If there weren't Christians on his staff, not just me, but others, the issue probably wouldn't even have been brought to his attention. You know, we were walking into the Oval Office to talk to the President of the United States about one single baby. So all along the way, Christians had to step up. And a Christian president had to risk offending some voters by getting involved in what is a fairly sensitive family matter about parents and children and proper medical care and so forth. Well, the lesson of all this is, look, you don't have to be a president of the United States. You don't have to wield great power. You don't have to be a nurse in some hospital. Wherever God has placed you as a Christian in America, in times like these, there are things you can do. No, it's more important than that. There are things that only you can do. I am absolutely convinced, you'll hear this from me over and over again, because at the James Dobson Family Institute, we believe this with all of our heart, that the problems facing America cannot possibly be solved without the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States. That the challenges facing our country, perhaps even threatening to bring our country to its knees, cannot be solved without Christian Americans standing up. So my message today is, if you're in a place like that nurse, then make a stand there. If you're working in some corporation and you're being asked to do something that offends or contradicts the faith you believe in, stand up and say something. If you're in government, don't leave your faith at home in the morning. If you were elected with the votes of Christians, we expect you to act on your Christian faith when you're a congressman or a senator, a president, or even if you're on a local school board or city council. Again, the future of America depends on our children being healed, and our children are not going to be healed without the active involvement of the Church of Jesus Christ and Christian Americans in every community stepping up to help our children and to preserve the chances for America being again a shining city upon a hill. Thank you for being with us again this week. Tell your neighbors and friends about this podcast. Bring them along the next time you're listening. We're counting on you to be in this battle, and we promise we'll be there with you with the resources and hopefully the encouragement and inspiration to fight the good fight to protect faith, family, and freedom. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.